is price fixing to blame for the high cost of gas?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as an online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com.
Good morning from APM American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Senate is expected to vote today on a Republican proposal to increase domestic oil drilling. But the chances of passage look about as good as yesterday's vote on taking away tax breaks for big oil companies, which failed. Both proposals are Washington's way of responding to high gas prices. And now, as our Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale reports, some senators are calling for an investigation into potential price fixing by the nation's oil refiners.
The group of Democrats say the refineries' take from each gallon of gasoline has nearly doubled since January.
We don't know if this is a smoking gun, but it sure requires a close look.
New York's Charles Schumer and Missouri's Claire McCaskill say refiners are only running at 80% capacity, and McCaskill wonders whether they're deliberately trimming supply to increase the price.
There is a 20% capacity they're not using. Obviously, I think for most consumers in America would go, why not?
The American Petroleum Institute's John Felmy says the capacity cutback is due to spring maintenance and flood prevention. As for the gusher of earnings,
it's important to know that at the very beginning of the year, refiners were losing money. So talking about big percentage increases off of a very small number is simply bogus.
Still, senators want the Federal Trade Commission to check it out. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
This week has been one of the busiest of the year for companies looking to borrow money in the corporate bond market. Yesterday, for example, Johnson & Johnson had its biggest bond sale ever. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman joins us now live with more on this story. Good morning, Mitchell.
Hi, Jeremy.
So a lot of companies, they've saved up a lot of cash during the recession. Why do they want to borrow money right now?
Well, three words, low interest rates. Between the Federal Reserve's easy monetary policy and banks that are now ready to lend, it just makes sense to borrow right now, and interest rates will probably head up before too long. I mean, Texas Instruments, which just sold $3.5 billion in debt, it'll pay under 1% interest on some of those notes. That is just crazy cheap money.
Crazy cheap money, but what are they going to do with it?
Well, so in the case of Texas Instruments, it's to buy National Semiconductor. In other words, they're investing in the business for future growth. That's what's driving a lot of big firms, according to economist Robert Carnell at the ING Group.
There has been an absolute dearth of investment since the financial crisis, and there will come a point where firms do decide to start expanding capacity, partly for domestic reasons, but the external demand environment looks pretty good. And for the bigger firms with export markets and with a weaker dollar, some of that will take place on U.S. territory rather than overseas.
So these companies will likely spend at least some of the money to build factories, buy new trucks, whatever, do R&D right here in the U.S.
Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman, thanks.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up right now across Europe and Asia, about 0.9% higher in London. We'll get earnings this morning from Staples. Analysts will be watching to see if the office supply chain has seen a rebound in sales to small businesses. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow lost 68 points to close at 12,479.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, celebrating the success of small businesses throughout Small Business Week. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com.
Foodies and deli owners will gather tomorrow in San Francisco to discuss the future of the old-school Jewish-style deli. Rising food and labor costs are making it harder for traditional delis to stay afloat. Deb Monroe reports now on how some are trying to adapt.
It's almost lunchtime, and Saul's Deli in Berkeley is getting ready to serve its main attraction, the traditional pastrami sandwich.
The pastrami that we serve comes from a naval brisket.
Saul's co-owner, Peter Levitt, says this cut comes from a special section of beef now in huge demand to make processed meats like hot dogs, and that's doubled the price over the last 10 years. No surprise, a 12-ounce pastrami sandwich now costs $20, a turnoff for many customers.
But there's no way to build a sandwich for $15 with 8, 9, or 10 ounces of meat in it and make a claim that you've used good meat.
5 years ago, Saul's Deli cut its standard pastrami sandwich to 6 ounces for $11.75. Customers who want more pastrami now face a sliding scale. Saul's has gone the way of the airlines, charging extra for more.
About 10% of our customers will add 1, 2, 3, or 4 ounces of meat to that.
But even with the smaller sandwich, Saul's is not recouping the cost of the meat.
People come in for the pastrami, but we absolutely need them to order a latke before, a potato dish. We need them to have soup with a dumpling in it.
Levitt says it's all the other stuff on the menu that makes it possible to stay in business.
Then they need to get a dessert, and they need to wash the whole thing down with a few beers. And then we're all happy.
While Saul's Deli has shrunk its sandwiches across the bay in San Francisco, Wysons Deli has shrunk its menu to about 8 items. Co-owner Leo Beckerman says this keeps inventory costs down.
We're trying to keep our menu small and very much built out of products that we make ourselves. So, for example, we cure and smoke our own meats. We bake our own bread.
Wysons charges $12 for a pastrami with a side and pickles. Retiree Judith Franklin didn't bat an eye.
For a good deli fix, I'm willing to pay.
Some customers, at least, are willing to accept quality over quantity, proving there may be a future for a leaner, meaner pastrami. In San Francisco, this is Deb Monroe for Marketplace.
And finally, from pastrami to pickles, today is the 20th annual pickle eating contest at the Carnegie Deli in New York. 10 contestants will try to chow down on as many pickles as they can in a 5-minute window. The record currently stands at 3.8 pounds of pickles consumed. The head of the pickled company that sponsors the contest says it's absolutely nauseating to watch. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Corporate culture can involve a lot of suppressed frustration and forced politeness. But Xerox CEO Ursula Burns wants people to be themselves, even if they're cranky.
I think that the best way to get the best out of people is to not force them to be something other than they naturally are.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Another conversation from the corner office and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace. It's from APM American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.